On the third day, he rose again. Happy Easter!
Happy Easter, everybody!
He is not here,
for he has risen.
Come see the place where the Lord lay.
Yay!
Thank you.
Good morning and happy Easter. In just a moment, I want to share with you three words. He is risen. And after I share these words, I would love for you to respond with these words. He is risen indeed. Now, I know that I can't see you and I can't hear you, but it'd make me feel a lot better if you just join in with me on this. So here we go. He is risen. Thank you so much for doing that. I feel better already. Good morning, and again, welcome to our Easter online service. My name is Jay Riggleman. I'm the pastor here at Bible Baptist Church, and I'm looking forward to celebrating Easter with you as we enter into worship and into God's Word. Before we start, I want to give a word of thanks to our families in our church with young kids who sent me the videos with the kids holding the Easter signs and the pictures with that. I loved putting that video together. We highlighted those Easter signs at the beginning of our service. So if you missed that, make sure you go back and check those out and make sure your kids see them as well. Easter Sunday is typically the most frequented church service as it relates to guests. And even though today is anything but a typical Easter Sunday, we want to make sure that we connect with you. We believe that many of you are watching today for the first time and in your first connection with Bible Baptist Church. So we want to get some information about our church into your hands. The process is pretty simple. After the service, go back to our webpage, and on the front page, go to the top right-hand corner where it says Connect. Click on that. It'll take you to a contact form. You can fill that out with some simple information, leave us a message, a prayer request, and then send it our way. Once you receive that, we'll be contacting you, following up with you, and then we'll also send you some information about the church in the mail. And who doesn't want to get some mail these days? Again, it's www.biblebc.org is our website. So go there and let us know about your visit. We would really appreciate it. Let's get started this morning by entering into worship. We're going to start with two powerful Easter songs. And there'll be somebody singing the songs for you, so you can enter in that way. There'll be lyrics on the screen. So join me as we sing, Because He Lives and Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. In just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him. The help of all who find. My mother is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives.
Church, this is the time when we would normally say, take the time to greet those around you. Except those around you now are the same people who've been around you for the last month. want you to know we miss you. We miss seeing you, singing with you, doing life together with you at Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS. Take the time this week to jot a note to someone and put it in the actual mailbox. Let's use these days of separation to be intentional about connecting in ways we don't normally. Letters and phone calls, instead of just texts and emails. We need to hear each other's voices. As you're watching this service, it makes me think about the family of God all across the globe, those we will never see simply because of distance. So don't feel alone this Easter Sunday. Reflect on the truth that there are believers all over the world worshiping our living Savior, reflecting on the victorious life that is ours because He is risen. Say it with me, He is risen indeed. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day he raised again.'" Then they remembered his words.
Thank you.
You know, there are dozens of phobias and fears experienced by people. We're afraid of flying, we're afraid of heights, spiders, being alone, being too crowded. We're afraid of blood and needles and storms and water and snakes and dogs and mice. We're afraid of public speaking and, of course, death. And fear is at a heightened level today. And most fears expressed today are related to COVID-19. We're fearful of our friends getting infected, of our loved ones getting the virus, or getting it ourselves. We're fearful and anxious about what 6 feet looks like. We're fearful of the fallout from the pandemic, whether it's economic or financial or educational. We're fearful of the impact on our healthcare system and its workers. Our basic needs of food and shelter have become center stage concerns for many. Our usual outlets of recreation and entertainment and sports are all on hold. So this fear can lead to anxiety and despair and depression and stress, family and relationship strain, and even bad financial decisions. I would say that fear is everywhere today. And as we think about this idea of fear, I want to start with just a few what I call fear observations. First of all, fear is real and demands a response. People's anxiety levels are palpable today. In the few opportunities that I have had to be in grocery stores lately, I feel the anxiety of people. I feel it myself. I look and I go, hey, you're only like 4.5 feet from me, buddy. You need to back off. Are people looking at you, whether you have a mask on or don't have a mask, and they're making judgment calls, and I find myself fearful for people that I see in the grocery store that look to be a little bit older than 65. So fear is real these days. The anxiety level is real. But it also demands a response. And now is not the time for the church and for Christians to dismiss this fear or to be silent in our response. We should be responding to the fear that's out there with our actions, but also with the truth of the Bible. Here's a second fear observation. Fear can't always be trusted. Fear is helpful when it comes to alerting us to danger, but fear can also be a liar when it distorts the truth of God's word and the character of God. Or it really kind of downplays it or distracts us from the character of God. And I also believe that fear is a very powerful weapon that Satan uses on people. So fear is real and it demands a response, but it can't always be trusted. But there's something else about fear that's related to Easter. Fear is a big part of the resurrection story. It really is. Notice with me some of the key players in the resurrection story of Jesus and the fear that they faced. First of all, Pilate was afraid. In John chapter 19, it says, as soon as the chief priest and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you must take him and crucify him. You must do that. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. Afraid of the religious people, and afraid of the response that Rome would have towards him if there was a riot. So Pilate was afraid. The religious leaders were also afraid. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 2, it says, "The chief priest and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people." See, they were afraid to just walk right up and have Jesus killed. They wanted to find some way to kind of do it in a way that would seem logical and legitimate to people, because they didn't want a riot to take place. So even though they badly wanted to get rid of Jesus, they were still fearful of the people. The guards at the tomb were afraid. Matthew 28 says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Joseph of Arimathea was also afraid. After Jesus was crucified and his body was brought down, it says in John chapter 19 that Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but it goes on to say, but he was secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. So Joseph asked for the body of Jesus, but he was a secret disciple. He's afraid of what others would think. He was part of the religious council. He was afraid about what his peers would think. The women at the tomb were afraid. Mark 16:8, after they peeked into the empty tomb, it says, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." And then finally, Jesus' disciples were afraid. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, interesting verse. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week. So on the evening of Resurrection Sunday, on the evening of the first Easter, it says, when the disciples were together, they had the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They had seen what happened to Jesus, and they weren't convinced of the resurrection, so they were afraid. So they sat in seclusion, in isolation, in quarantine, with the doors locked because they were afraid. So we see in the resurrection story, there was lots of fear for different reasons. There was fear for them, and as you transform to today or transport to today, there's fear for us as well. People are afraid. They were afraid back then. They're afraid now. So what is the right understanding of responding to fear? Well, I want to say to you that the opposite of fear is trust and confidence. Now, some may not agree with that. Some would say that we just need to have courage or to be brave. But I would say to that, what happens when we just can't seem to muster enough courage in ourselves in the midst of our fear? Where do we turn? When we're not feeling brave, when we can't gather up enough courage, is there any other response? Well, biblically speaking, the best response to fear is not about finding confidence in ourselves, but finding it in someone else. I'm reminded of when my kids were younger. And there'd be times maybe when there was a thunderstorm or something that woke them up from their sleep, or maybe they had a bad dream and they were afraid. They would come into our room, and if we were asleep, they would wake us up, or if we were awake, they would jump in the bed, and they were looking for us to help them. And as a parent, I don't think I ever said to my son or my daughter, "Listen, just be courageous, be brave." Because that's not what they needed to hear. What they needed to hear was, "Yes, come join us. Everything's okay. Mom and Dad are here." They needed to have their confidence in someone else, not in themselves. And when it comes to the fear that we're facing today, we can't look for it in other people. We need to find it in somebody else, and that person is Jesus Christ. Where should we put our trust and our confidence when we are afraid? This is where the story of the resurrection comes into play. Here it is. The resurrection is God's response to fear, all fear. The resurrection is God's response to fear, all the fear that's out there. It was God's response to fear back then. It's God's response to fear today. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. as the women are at the tomb and they're afraid because the tomb is empty and they don't know what's going on. They're confused. It says, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. So why shouldn't they be afraid? He goes on to say, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. That's why they shouldn't be afraid. That's why we shouldn't be afraid. The resurrection changes everything as it relates to fear. The resurrection stands up to any type of fear that we will face. You know, the Bible says that love drives out fear. But it's a specific type of love that drives out fear. It's called a perfect love. And that phrase drives out or cast out can be explained other ways as well as it relates to perfect love. Let me explain it to you this way. Very powerful. This perfect love is what casts out fear. But perfect love sends fear away. It can also be explained this way. Perfect love expels it or kicks it out. The perfect love that's described in the Bible says, get out of here, fear. You can't stay. You're not welcome. You're not wanted. So perfect love is the response we need to have to fear. But what is this perfect love? Can it be produced on a human level? Can the government provide it for us? Can we conjure it up in ourselves? The answer to all those is no. Here's what perfect love is. Perfect love is found in the sacrificial death of Jesus and his victorious resurrection. The sacrificial death of Jesus and his victorious resurrection is the perfect love. And the resurrection seals the deal on God's complete agape love for us through Jesus Christ. This perfect love is validated and authenticated by the resurrection, and it stands up to any type of fear. But here's how it works. Here's how the perfect love works, even today, and the different types of fear that we're facing that I see out there. Number one, the resurrected perfect love drives out the fear of punishment. I've been listening, whether it's through social media or listening online or reading articles, and there's a lot out there about punishment and judgment as it relates to what's happening. There are people wondering, is this the judgment of God? Is this the punishment of God? And we've been walking away from God as a nation or as individuals, and God is punishing us, and all these things are swirling around, and they just seem to feed the fear. And I'm not ready to go all in and say this is God's judgment, but I am ready to say this. Every single person should be concerned about the judgment of God because every single person is a sinner. That means every single person in the state of New York, in the United States of America, every single person in the world is under the punishment of God because of our sin. But the great news is this, that the perfect love we're talking about, the resurrected perfect love, cast out the fear of punishment. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, kicks out fear, expels fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. There is a sense of being concerned or being afraid if we're going to be punished. But the idea is the punishment that God rightfully and justly would be upon us is taken care of by the perfect love through the resurrected Jesus Christ. So if we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, guess what? We're not going to face punishment. We're not going to face judgment. And that should give us reason to get up every single day, not in fear, but in hope and in mercy and grace. So the resurrected perfect love drives out the fear of punishment. So if that's out there today, I encourage you not to let that fear overwhelm you, but to run to the resurrected perfect love. Secondly, second type of fear, the resurrected perfect love drives out the fear of death. I have to say, even today as I was watching a news conference with Governor Cuomo, I was saddened by the increased number of deaths related to COVID-19 in New York State. The number is well over 7,000 people. And we're talking about dads and moms and husbands and wives and grandparents and coworkers and friends and neighbors who've lost their lives. And it's put people on edge as it relates to death and fear as it relates to this virus. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is the resurrected, perfect love of God through Jesus Christ. Listen to this incredible verse from the Apostle Paul. He says in 2 Timothy 1:10, God's grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is what Christ did. He has destroyed death and has brought us life. Did you hear that? Jesus not only came to give his life on the cross for us, but when he resurrected, he destroyed the fear of death. And he brought us life. So that means, even in the midst of the horrible statistics we're facing in New York State and people that are passing away, we do not have to be afraid of death because of the resurrected, perfect love of Jesus Christ. Death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? It's not there anymore because of Jesus. Because he conquered death and he's alive. I will not fear it. The resurrected perfect love drives out one more type of fear that I think is very prevalent today. The resurrected perfect love drives out the fear of an uncertain future. People are afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month. What's going to be our new normal, or what is going to be normal? What's going to be happening next year? And we're fearful of our uncertain future. And the resurrected Jesus Christ drives out the fear of this uncertain future. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this to his disciples, and he's saying it to us today. Because I live, you also will live. And what does it mean that Jesus is alive today? Well, the Bible goes on to say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what does that mean? That means that no matter how uncertain the times become, tomorrow, Jesus is alive, and he's alive for me. Next week, Jesus is alive, and he's alive for me. The week after that, Jesus is alive and alive for me. He will continue to be my helper. He will not change. He is alive and well and working in my life and for my life, and that will never, ever change, no matter how often the circumstances around me change. And that's only possible because he resurrected from the grave. Jesus is alive. And because of that, I can face an uncertain future. Bill and Gloria Gaither, gospel musicians, have written more than 700 gospel songs. Arguably, their most popular song is called Because He Lives. And there's an interesting story behind it. You see, Bill and Gloria were married in 1962. And the 60s were a chaotic era. And they both sensed a shift in values. And they began to wonder if God hadn't given up on the world. 1969 was particularly hard for Bill and Gloria because Bill was stricken with a severe case of mono, and Gloria was facing some painful false accusations. She was dealing with some emotional issues. This was also a time in the 60s when the God is Dead movement was infiltrating the school systems, drug abuse was on the rise, and racial tensions were increasing. Some of these things sound very familiar. And Bill and Gloria wondered if our country's best days were behind them. In the midst of all this uncertainty, they later learned that they had a baby on the way. And Gloria said that she thought it was a really scary or fearful time to have a child. But in the midst of this, God showed up in their lives. And he helped them both to realize that life is worth the living because of the resurrected Christ. They realized no matter how unsure the future, Christ would guide them and their newborn son the whole way. And thus, this brought them to write the lyrics to Because He Lives. As a matter of fact, the second verse of the song was written about their son Benji that was born during this time. It says, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. For greater still the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives." And the chorus goes on to say, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." So because he lives, I can face without fear today, tomorrow, next week, next month. I can live without fear during the peak of the crisis and after the crisis ends. I can live without fear in whatever form life takes in the future. And I can live and face life without fear towards the end of my life, whenever that might be, because He lives. So what's the answer to our fears? Stimulus checks? Business loans? Schools reopening? Flattening of the curve? A vaccine? A return to normal social distancing? Jobs recovered? Jobs created? Are these the answers? Well, I think some of these things will probably help with our concerns. But then other fears will still linger and new ones will develop. So what's the best right now and long-term response to our fears? Here it is. At the empty tomb, God calls us to put our confidence in His perfect love, the resurrected Jesus, which drives out all fear. At the tomb, God calls us to put our confidence in His perfect love, the resurrected Jesus, which drives out all fear. John says it this way in his epistle. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, including the resurrection, God lives in them and they in God. And then listen to the end. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. So we put our confidence in the resurrected, perfect love of Jesus Christ. That's what we rely on to deal with our fear. Josh McDowell has said, no matter how devastating our struggles, disappointments, and troubles are, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to you, no matter the depth of tragedy or pain you face, no matter how death stalks you and your loved ones, the resurrection promises you a future of immeasurable good. Why? Because He lives. Do not be afraid. Let's pray. God, so thankful for the story of the resurrection. And we have honestly seen that in the story of the resurrection, there was a lot of fear involved. There were a lot of people there who were afraid for a number of different reasons. And today, as we celebrate Easter, a lot of people are dealing with different kinds of fear. So what's the answer? Bottom line, the answer is the resurrected Jesus. So God, right now I want to invite those who are watching and listening who've never embraced that perfect love to take that moment right now. So as I'm speaking to you in this prayer, as you're listening and watching, if you've never embraced Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to do this with me in these next few moments. I want to invite you to pray this prayer to God. And this prayer is not what saves you or helps you to become a Christian. It's just reaffirming a statement of belief that you're making to God. So I'd encourage you to share this with God right now, from your heart to His ears. God, thank You for the gift of perfect love through Jesus Christ. I realize, God, that I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that He rose again to give me life both now and for eternity. And God, as best as I know how, I give my life to You through Jesus Christ. Right now, God, I choose to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And I would say that if you've done that, we would love to hear about that. We'd love to know about that. So let us know. God, thank You again for the opportunity to celebrate Easter. And I pray that You'd help us to realize it's not just about today, but that we can take this hope and this celebration, this perfect love, and help us to be it will help us to cast out fear today and tomorrow and next week and every day moving forward. So we thank You for these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to end with a song in just a moment. And part of the song goes like this. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, Yours is the victory. And that's taken from the song Living Hope that we're going to sing. But I want to rephrase it again just at the end where it says, out of the silence, the roaring lion declared that fear has no claim on me. Because Jesus, yours is the victory because of your resurrection. So join with me as we end by singing about the living hope.
I'll break the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness torn through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven.
Declared the grave has no place.